Okay, let me just mention for those of you who might not have been with us recently, we're doing a series through the summer, which is called Stuff That Matters. And what we're looking at is some particular things that are especially relevant to people in Gen Z, that is between the ages of 14 and 29. Now, as Charlotte said about grade 6 through 12, some of you probably left 14 to 29 quite a while ago as well. But here's the thing, they actually apply to everyone. But since the most measurable area in which there has been growth in church attendance over the last couple of years is actually Gen Z, I was looking into it, and I did some research and read the results of a lot of work others have done, and came up with things that they discovered that Gen Z really want to know about God. And the thing is this, unless we know what people really want to know, we run the risk of being totally irrelevant. And I never want to stand here on a Sunday and talk about stuff that really doesn't matter to anybody at all. So we've been looking through these seven things that particularly matter to Gen Z, but the reality is they impact all of us at different times. So today we are going to look at the question, do all people matter to God? Do all people matter to God? And the answer is, yes. And you want a Bible verse for it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's it. Good. Okay, let's stand with the band and we'll sing our last song. Yeah, it's not quite as straightforward as that, because the fact is when Gen Z asks that question, they're not asking, do I matter to God? We talked about that really a couple of weeks ago when I looked at the question, will God accept me? One of the things I think that has been true throughout a number of generations is that when you come particularly around your teens and early 20s, you tend to be a little radical and a little different. And one of the things you tend to get aware of is where there are particular needs and where there is social imbalance and social injustice. And with Gen Z having been perhaps the first generation that grew up with social media, which means basically connection to everything going on in the world, Gen Z seem to have a heightened sense of awareness of some of the things that are happening around the world. Those who are living in the poverty trap, those who are in a situation where they can't afford medications, where there are children going hungry, the challenges surrounding the whole issue of immigration. And Gen Z would be very much aware of those. And the question, do all people matter to God, isn't the question, do I matter to God? It's, do all of these people matter to God? And that's what I want to look at today. That's the real question. And one of the reasons they tend to ask that question is this. The Christian church gives the appearance to many that it is absolutely self-absorbed, exclusive, lives behind its own closed doors, singing praise songs forever, and that's all they're interested in. And that's one of the reasons why Gen Z tends to ask that question. Now, let me just refer to an incident in Matthew's gospel when a man who had leprosy came to Jesus. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2 and verse 3. Then a man sick with leprosy came to him. The man bowed down before Jesus and said, Lord, you have the power to heal me if you want. Jesus touched the man. He said, I want to heal you. Be healed. Immediately the man was healed from his leprosy. Now, thankfully, leprosy is a rare thing in our world nowadays. In Jesus' world, it was a frequent thing, an awful disease that ate away at people's flesh and at their bodies. It was gross to look at. And There was no cure for it. So actually, if someone was diagnosed with leprosy, they immediately had to leave their homes and their communities, and they had to live somewhere away from everybody else. And if they should come anywhere where people were, they had to be covered up because they looked so gross. They had to ring a bell. They had to shout unclean everywhere they went. And if they were walking down the road, they had to be on the other side of the road to everybody else. They were totally separate and they were excluded while they themselves were suffering tremendously physically and mentally too. And there's an interesting thing that happened when this man approached Jesus. And the interesting thing was this. Jesus didn't rebuke him for coming close to him, because Jesus cared about this poor man. Do all people matter to God? Yes, they do. Especially the rejected, the suffering, and the hopeless. Let me just break away from that for a second. The very next miracle there in Matthew's gospel that's recorded is where a Roman soldier, a man of some office, a centurion, came to Jesus and told Jesus, or asked Jesus help, because his servant was sick. And Jesus said to the centurion, I'll come to your house. And here's what he answered, Matthew 8, verse 8. The officer answered, Lord, I'm not good enough for you to come into my house. You need only to give the order and my servant will be healed. So he said, you know, you can do it from here. It's okay. So verse 13 says this. Then Jesus said to the officer, go home. Your servant will be healed the way you believed he would. Right then, his servant was healed. All right, backtrack to the man who had leprosy. So here's the man who had leprosy, and he's coming close to Jesus, and Jesus could have said, stay where you are. Don't come any closer. Be healed. And he could have healed him that way, right? But he didn't. This man who had been isolated, feeling he was a total outcast and reject, Jesus let him come right to him, and then Jesus did what nobody else would ever have done. It says Jesus touched the man and healed him. He didn't need to touch him. He didn't need to go near to him or let him near to himself. But the reality is, Jesus saw the man in his need, and it wasn't just the disease that was eating his body up. There was more to it than that. Nobody had touched him forever and a day. Nobody got close to him, wouldn't let him get anywhere near to them. But Jesus did, because all people matter to him. There's this event that made such an impact, I guess, on my life that I talk about it still, must be 30 years later. And if you've been with us just a moderate amount of time, you've heard this story before. If you've been with me a fair bit of time, you could probably tell the story better than I tell it. But just look interested, all right, whatever the case is. Some people will be hearing this for the first time. Back in the 90s, I used to spend Monday evenings and Saturday afternoons in the Lower East Side of Manhattan helping a ministry that fed the homeless, and we helped them down there one Saturday afternoon. Saturday afternoons were really busy. We were down on Avenue C and 9th Street, for those who might know that area, just down from Tompkins Square Park. And we were there, and everything would be set up there on the sidewalk, and there was a line went down the block and generally went on to Avenue D and sometimes went back up 8th Street as well. We would feed 400 to 500 on a regular Saturday, and some Saturdays up to 600. So we were there for quite a long time, and we served hot meals and pantry bags and goods. And there was one very strict rule, and that is this. No matter how sad a story you tell us, you only get one hot meal. So no matter what, you know, if your granny's dying and hasn't got food, give her yours. And that, you know, that was it, because you had to maintain, we had some real characters, trust me. So you had to maintain some order. So one Saturday afternoon, I'm down there, and I'm just finished chatting with somebody, and I see one of our regular guys, James, just kind of approaching me. James was a tall guy. He actually came down from the Bronx on Saturday afternoons, and he was there. It was winter. He was in a long overcoat that was stained and dirty. His hair was long and matted. And James had just got his stuff, and he came over to me, and he said, Roger, can I ask you something? And I thought, here goes. I said, James, you know the deal. He said, no, I just need to ask you something. I said, okay, what do you need to ask me? He said, will you give me a hug? He said, nobody's hugged me for years. Will you hug me? Now, I'll be honest, my knee-jerk reaction, I'd rather have given him another meal. I'm just telling it the way it is, right? Just being honest. I mean, in the instant. But you know, I hugged that guy, and as I hugged him, it was like I didn't smell anything. And in that moment, it was like I heard Jesus say, "Inasmuch as you do it to these, the least of my children, you're doing it to me." Yeah, everybody does matter to God. Everybody matters. And let me say this. Those whose needs are greatest are his priority. Let me unpack that for you. Those whose needs are greatest are his priority. There's a statement in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15 which says this. It says, a message from the most high and towering God who lives in eternity, whose name is holy. I live in the high and lofty places, but also with the low spirited, the spirit crushed. And what I do is put a new spirit in them, get them up on their feet again. So God says, I live way up here, and you'll find me way down there as well. I'm high above absolutely everything, but I'm with the people whose spirit has been crushed. Now, that's not that God plays favorites. It's almost like a triage situation, in some emergency. A triage situation, you come and you take a look at the person and put a Band-Aid on him, send him off, he's good. You know what? Somebody else, you say, well, they can wait for a minute, let's see who's next. And this one, you say, get the OR straight away. Who needs the attention? As if you got two kids, one just fell and hurt themselves and the other is playing away happy as anything. Probably pushed them over, but still, so who gets the attention in the moment? The one who gets the attention is the one who needs it, right? And all people matter to God. God loves the world. But in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, there is a picture that Jesus gives with a shepherd who's got 100 sheep. But there's only 99 of them in the fold on this particular occasion. So you know what the shepherd does? He leaves them. They're fine. They're good. They don't need me right now. The one who needs me is the one who's lost someplace, is in danger, who is cold, and maybe who is sick, maybe have injured themselves. And that's the one who gets all of my attention right now. That's how Jesus lived. When people said to him, the problem with you is you hang out with the wrong kind of people. Jesus told them this in Mark chapter 2. It says, when Jesus heard this, he said to them, it's the sick people who need a doctor. And though not those who are healthy. I don't come to invite good people. I came to invite sinners. It's the sick people who need a doctor. That's why Jesus said, I hang out with sick people. Some of you just looked around and said, uh-huh. but that was where his attention was that there are no exceptions to the love of God, but there are those for whom he has particular concern. All people matter to God. And you know what? That is something that Christ's church should mirror as well. That all people, no exceptions, all people matter to us. And there are those for whom we have a special concern. I think it's kind of fitting that I'm talking about this topic on Superheroes Sunday, because what are superheroes all about? They're about helping people who are threatened. They're about coming to the aid of others who can't help themselves. It's about supporting the vulnerable. It's about picking up those who feel overwhelmed. That's what it's all about. And that's what Jesus came to do. And that's what the Church of Christ is meant to be doing as well. So let me just emphasize this point now. God's priorities should be our priorities. God's priorities, people who particularly need him, then you know what? Those need to be our priorities as well. There's a fascinating passage, talk about something that happened 30 years ago. It must have been 30 years ago that I saw this particular passage in Isaiah chapter 58. Now, there is a good chance that I had read Isaiah 58 multiple times in my life up to that point. But you know, and some of you will understand this, the Bible is such an incredible book that no matter how much we might have read it and how much of it we might know, you can pick it up one day and you can read something and you see something there you never saw before. Something really hits you that, you know what? Wow, I never saw that. And this passage in Isaiah 58 was like that for me a number of years ago. God's people had been saying to him, you know, God, something's wrong here, because we do everything we should, and we have special days for prayer. We set aside special days when we even fast as well. And for all our days of praying and all our days of fasting, it seems as if you're not hearing us, because you're not answering and you're not blessing us. And God comes back at them with this. In Isaiah 58 and verse 6, God says, I'll tell you the kind of day I want. A day to set people free. I want a day that you take the burdens off of others. I want a day when you set troubled people free and you take the burdens from their shoulders. I want you to share your food with the hungry. I want you to find the poor who don't have homes and bring them into your own homes. When you see people who have no clothes, give them your clothes. Don't hide from your relatives when they need help. I'm going to leave that last frame for now, Gene. Thanks. That's a good note to end on, isn't it? Don't hide from your relatives when they need help. Uh-oh, here comes Uncle Lou. But seriously, in these couple of verses, God's saying, you know, you say, well, we have our prayer days and we have our days of fasting and we have this day and we have that day. And God says, I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. I'm not interested. Here's the days I want. I want the days when you look after the poor. I want days where you help those who need clothing. I want you to have days where you take the burdens off others. I want you to have days where you go to troubled people and help them to find freedom. That's what I really want. And you know what? We have to be very careful. Those of us who are committed to Christ and in church life, we need to be very, very careful that our priorities mirror God's priorities. that we don't get caught up with, well, we do this and we do that and we do the other. And you can be on a religious merry-go-round, which, you know, which by to all accounts looks like it's, wow, great, incredible spiritual stuff. And God says, wait a second. You know who gets my special attention? People whose spirits are broken. Because if all our praying and even fasting, if all our Bible study groups, if all our special gatherings don't produce what God's looking for, actually, they are pointless religious exercises that may make us feel better, but they don't impress heaven. I'll say it again because it's good. If all our praying, even fasting, all our Bible study groups, all our special gatherings don't produce what God is looking for, they are pointless religious exercises that may make us feel better, but they don't impress heaven. Because all people matter to God, but especially the broken, the hurting, the oppressed, the forgotten, the hopeless, the desperate. One of the things that I love about our church is that our church family has got beyond the fact that all you need to do is come to church and work at living a better life. But actually, for so many, that not only have you connected to Jesus for yourself, but you have become a part of the mission that we are on. And you are totally behind and you are totally part of what is our mission too. Because those words in Isaiah 58, I hope will always describe how Genesis Church is. And if you're here for the first time or if you're new-ish to Genesis Church, I want to tell you this. My goal is not that you come here regularly. I didn't just say don't come here regularly. I'd say that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is not that you come here regularly. The ultimate goal is you embrace the cause and become part of it in some ways, that you get behind the mission and the vision so you're not just a receiver, but you are a contributor in some way, so that actually there's a real sense of belonging. There is a whole world out there that needs fixing. And only God can do that. But he has entrusted us with partnering with him to do what we can, where we can. Because we are the hands and the feet of Jesus in this world. We are the ones to whom he has entrusted his work. So for each of us on a personal level, not a world-saving level, but our world level, three interesting questions to ask ourselves from time to time. Number one, what do we see? What's around me? What do I see? What am I aware of right now? And then secondly, what do we have? And then thirdly, what can we do? Now, look at those three questions and think about the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, okay? And here's the 5,000. What do we see? We see a whole crowd of thousands of people that Jesus says are hungry, and he can't send them away without feeding them, because otherwise, you know, they're going to be real sick. That's what was around. That's what he saw. What do we have? 5 loaves and 2 fish. What can we do? Give them to Jesus. What do you see? What do you have? What can you do? Three really good questions to have in the back of our minds on a day-to-day basis. What am I seeing? What's happening here? What do I have? What can I do? As I said a few minutes ago, I love the fact that here at Genesis, you know, if you're part of our church, you're part of our church because you get it. you really get what we were about. The numbers don't tell the whole story, but let me just reiterate those. Charlotte actually shared these a few weeks ago when she talked about our comedy night fundraiser for Grace Care on the 28th of August. In 2025, our drive-through food pantry provided groceries and support to 37,229 people. That is phenomenal, isn't it? Now, don't keep clapping until I finish, because I've only got so much preaching time, all right? Now, our mobile soup kitchen, which goes out of here every Saturday afternoon, down into Patchogue to help those that are in need and the homeless people too, and takes them hot meals. The mobile soup kitchen prepared over 7,400 nourishing hot meals, including special meals for Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving. Don't clap. Our Grace Care outreaches provided mobile food deliveries to 1,664 families. That is seniors who can't get out, those that are sick, that is veterans, all kinds of people. Those are amazing numbers, aren't they? Clap now by all means. God's priorities need to be our priorities. They really do. And you know what? Those statistics only tell a part of the story from Grace Care, because in any given in the course of any given year, there are so many other things that they are supporting and that they are helping with. And then there are special needs that come to their attention. And recently, they became aware of a young woman who had become pregnant. And the father of the child insisted she could get an abortion. And her own mother had passed, and she really was limited who she had to lean on. And she didn't want to get an abortion. So all the guy's family were ganging up on her and telling her that's all she can do, that's what she's got to do. And she refused to have an abortion, and so they left her all by herself. So she's there with very little, living in a very sad position and situation with no support. And our Grace Care folks were made aware of her situation and have started putting together big food deliveries for her. And those are taken to her. And the last word we got was she gets so much in those deliveries, she's able to share it with some of the other women who live in the building. But there she is by herself struggling. You know something? It's no good saying we don't believe in abortion unless you somehow help those who make the alternative decision. You know? Yeah. You can stand outside a clinic with a placard until Jesus comes back. But you know what? It's better to go to a woman who said, I'm going to have this baby, and say, what can I do to help you? And so I'm glad you asked. No, I asked that question, right? All right. Because here's the next thing. Ginny Carmel, Ginny and Ken head up our Grace Care outreaches. Ginny talked to me a couple of weeks ago and said, I've got an idea for this woman. She's got nobody to help her with this, really. I've got an idea. How about we throw her a baby shower? And I thought, yeah. Is that okay? She said, listen, it's what we do. It's how we are. So I'm going to tell you this. On the 29th of August, that's going to be a busy Grace Care weekend. The fundraiser on the Friday the 28th. Then on Saturday afternoon, the 29th, from 1 o'clock in the afternoon, there is going to be a baby shower here for this young woman. And if you want to come, come. And let this total stranger know we're supporting you. And you know what? We respect you and the decision you've made, and we're going to be here for you. And the other thing is, of course, you can't go to a baby shower with nothing in your hand. So out at our front desk, through the barn doors on the left, at that desk there, there's a flyer like this one. And on it, there's the dreaded QR code, all right? And if you if you use that QR code, it will take you actually to a registry of things we are looking to get together for this young woman. Do all people matter to God? Yeah. But some people at any given point are of particular importance to Him. And that's how we look to be as a church. And you know what? If we are followers of Christ, we should be like Jesus. If we are God's people, we should reflect how God is. And we do that. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to encourage you in that. Now, that's things we do in the community. When it comes to our overseas work, our missions work, last year, we sent out $52,840 out from monthly support that we give to different missions and ministries. So that's like $1,000 a week went out from here. And those simply, you know, around the beginning of the month, which conveniently is right now, around the beginning of the month, we generally mention, if you want to be part of our monthly support of ministries and missions in different countries and in this country, then this would be a good time to give a gift and just market missions. And so we sent out of here $52,000 that way. Our sponsorship of children in San Marcos, in the school there that we help the church to run, our sponsorship from this church alone totaled $60,565 last year. If you look at what it costs our missions teams to go on the missions down to the DR last year, that totaled $40,779. And the projects they did for materials for those, we gave another $7,558, which means $161,742 went out of here last year towards missions. Yeah. That's quite incredible. It really is. It reminds me of a little church I was pastoring when I was a new pastor, and one of the old guys in the church said to me one day, he said, you know what, over the years, we've given an incredible amount of money to missions. If we'd kept that ourselves, we'd be in a far better place. And I said, if you'd kept that to yourselves, the doors wouldn't even be open anymore. Church would be, hey, the doors might have been open, but the church would have been dead. It was pretty much on its way there at that time anyway, but still. There are people who matter to God especially. And God's priorities need to continue, folks, to be our priorities. And then let me just say this. God blesses obedience. When we do things that are in line with the heart of God, and when we do the things that God wants us to do, here's the thing. You've all seen that meme that says, if at first you don't succeed, do it the way your wife told you in the first place, right? Right? You've all seen that one. It's a lie. It's a slur. But you've seen that one. So let me say this to you today. You know what? If some things aren't working for you in your life, then why not do it the way God said you should do it in the first place? And the way God says, here's what God said. God said, these are the days I want. This is the sacrifice I'm looking for. He said, oh, you know, you do your prayer days, you do your fast days, whoopee-doo. Here's what I want. I want you to help those that are oppressed. I want you to take the burdens off people's shoulders. I want you to reach out to those that are hungry. But then look what he goes on and says in Isaiah 58 and verse 8. He says, then God's light will shine on you like the sun's light at dawn. Very soon, your troubles will go away. The good things that you do to help others will be clear for everyone to see. And the Lord will use His great power to keep you safe. God says, if you'll do these things, if you'll take care of these people that are of particular concern to me, God's light will shine on you. So you become more alive and you become more yourself and your life becomes lighter and brighter. And then he says, very soon, your troubles will go away. Say, well, that's bizarre. No, it's God. It's God. As you care for others, you yourself find peace and perspective. Then he says, the good things you do to help others will be clear for everyone to see. People will come to recognize what you're about. We need to give a different impression to those outside the church than the one they've got. The one they've got is we're a holy club who don't care. But if we will make God's priorities ours, our reputation will change. And then here's what it says, and the Lord will use his great power to keep you safe. That's a win-win, folks. Do all people matter to God? And when that question is asked by Gen Z, they're not asking, do I matter? They're looking at different groups and saying, do these people matter to God? And the answer to that question is yes. Yes. Everyone matters to God, but especially those who are crushed in spirit are important to him. If you are watching us online today, if you're sitting here this morning and what you've seen of the Christian church suggests that they don't care about any group of people, I just want to tell you this. By the grace of God, this church will always be a church where the last, the lowest, and the least are our top priority, because they are God's priority. Never forget, all people matter to God. Amen. Let's pray together, could we? Let's pray. And let's just take a moment to ask God to help us. You see, it's easy for any of us to just get so caught up with what's going on in our own lives that we don't see the need around us. Or we're disinclined to stretch ourselves to help them. And so, Lord, we pray that you would please help us always to have a heart like yours. Help us, Lord, that just like you did when you walked this earth, we will prioritize those who need you the most. And Lord, with your help and by your grace, I pray that individually and together as a church, God, in whatever areas there is opportunity, God, help us to make a difference. Help us to lift up those that are downcast. And God, help us to be the bearers of hope to those who are hurting. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God.